Hello, this is Mark Rees. Welcome to day two of the Chamberlain Files podcast from the Conservative Party conference here in Birmingham. Yesterday's podcast, pioneering as it was a great success. We've not yet heard from the judging panel of the Sony Awards, but it's only going to be a matter of time, I'm sure. Joined again today with Chamberlain Files lead blogger Paul Dale and Kevin Johnson, who's here, frankly, just to make up the numbers, but I'm sure we'll cover off what's been going on. Big Bojo Day today, Paul. You were there. We'll get to that in a second, maybe. But kicked off again with a sleep-inducing session on housing. Was it actually interesting?
Well, this was a fringe meeting organised by the Urban Land Institute about what was termed at the meeting the housing crisis, i.e. No houses are being built, which is a bit of an issue, of course, for a country where more and more homes are required for an ageing population and more people living in single households. Birmingham City Council in May decided that it would increase the number of homes it wants to build from 50,000 by 2026 to 70,000, which, of course, is an incredible increase. This is a key priority for the new Labour administration. Unfortunately, I can tell you that in order to meet that, they would need to build an average of 9,000 homes a year, and at the moment the figure being built is 1,500.
So completely impossible to achieve in the current run rate. And there's an issue about... it's a bit of a vicious circle. There's lots of demand for private rented accommodation and housing in that particular sector. There is land available, but the investment isn't there, and therefore none of it gets put in the ground.
Yeah, here's the thing. There's a huge demand for housing. There are a few houses being built, but the important thing is that the houses that are being built are largely houses for private buying, people to buy with mortgages. You can't get a mortgage, it's difficult to get a mortgage, difficult for people to raise 20, 30, even 40% of the deposit. So what's the answer? The answer is arguably to do as other European countries do, and that's concentrate more on the private rented sector. But here in Britain, we seem to have some kind of an issue about rented accommodation. It's possibly not seen as the sort of thing that young people want to spend their lives doing, renting accommodation.
It sort of almost harks back to what Thatcher said about if you get public transport, you've obviously not made it in life. It's sort of that reads across to rented accommodation, whether or not it's in the social sector.
Yeah, that's right. And there's also a big issue about the way that rented accommodation is designed and delivered in this country. If you go to any major European city, you'll find quite high density rented accommodation, which is of a high standard. In this country, unfortunately, rented accommodation has all too often been appalling tower blocks.
So we've heard a lot about the problem. Kevin, you were there. Did anyone actually come up with a solution, or are we just going to be in the dire in this city and elsewhere over the next 20 years or so?
Well, I think actually there was a lot of positivity amongst the panel. Sitting on the panel were representatives of developers, of construction people, of people in regeneration agencies, CBRE, for example. And actually they were broadly positive because actually, of course, what we do know is on the social side, we need houses, as Paul says. There is a massive demand for houses both in Birmingham and across the country. Economically, we know that construction is one of the things that leads you back into some kind of normal economic activity and cycle. Although there is, I think, a lack of political leadership in this arena. But actually, across the panel this morning, they are positive because of those factors. There is just a mismatch in terms of the economics of attracting institutions to invest in these kind of developments. But that doesn't appear to me, being very much a non-expert in this area, doesn't appear to me to be a million miles off. And surely, both the economic need and the social need is going to mean that we are going to get there, if all be a bit delayed.
On border housing now, I want to talk about Bojo. Was it the second coming? Was it electric to be there?
It was the most...
Paul, you've been in his company. Tell us, we're waiting.
It was one of the most extraordinary political events I've seen in 25, 30 years.
And you've seen Mike Whitby.
I've seen Mike Whitby, yes. I've also seen Michael Heseltine, another Tory who was always being tipped for the leadership and never quite made it. Heseltine was box office. He always packed out Conservative conferences. Everyone wanted to hear him speak. But Boris Johnson is light years ahead of that at the moment in his popularity among the Tory tribe. Interestingly, his method of getting into the Symphony Hall today was not the usual method, which would be to go through the VIP entrance at the back. His method was to walk through the ICC, accompanied by every camera crew in the building, every press photographer, in what can only be described as a kind of scrum you would normally see at Twickenham. And you might ask yourself, why would somebody do that?
I was going to say, what role is he fulfilling within the party? What function, what useful function is he performing for the Conservative Party? And is any of that any use to David Cameron?
The useful function he's performing is something that all party conferences should deliver, and that is to cheer up the troops. David Cameron might not appreciate all that Boris Johnson does, and he might be concerned about Boris Johnson's ulterior motives, but the thing is, Boris Johnson is a winner. He's a major Conservative. He's won two elections in London, a left-leaning city. He seems to be able to transcend normal party politics and appeal to a broader spectrum of people, which is something, of course, that politicians always try to achieve. Whether he can make the jump to Downing Street at some stage, I'm not so sure.
I mean, that sort of glamour that he brings, and that connection and ability to animate an audience, that just shows up by contrast Cameron's deficit in that regard, doesn't it, Kevin?
I think he does. I think the Mayor Johnson, that's a good phrase, isn't it, Mayor Johnson? What Mayor Johnson brings, I think, is likability on a broad stage, on a wide platform. It goes beyond the fact that actually, you know, here he is. He's come from a media background, the Telegraph and the Spectator. He has been to the same kind of education institutions that Call Me Dave has been to, but somehow he's a different kind of character with a different kind of likability. One might also argue because having so many PR types and SPADs types who convert into ministers, MPs and cabinet ministers and PMs is not a good thing for the country, because they're too manufactured, they're too well considered, and they don't have the spark and the gravitas that somebody like Mayor Johnson has. However, let's not pretend this man is not clever. He's incredibly clever. Everything is done for a purpose. And whether it's the mop, whether it's the shambles, whether it's the walk through the ICC mount attracting every photographer, everything is done to with a fine art. And if you read his actual speech, as Paul Dale may post onto the Chamberlain Files, nobody but nobody in modern politics uses language like Boris does.
Yeah. What kind of language, Paul? Pick out some choice
bits.
Well,
here's Boris addressing the issue of the Olympic Games and what a great success it was in a country where we're more used to failure. Here he is. This is what he said. You remember what they were saying when the buses were on strike and the taxi drivers were blockading the West End and thousands of security staff seemed mysteriously to have found better things to do, and the weathermen were predicting truly cataclysmic inundations on the night of the opening ceremony. And then, sometime in that first week, it was as though a giant hormonal valve had been opened in the minds of the people. And the endorphins seemed to flow through the crowds and down the tube trains like some benign contagion.
That's quite extraordinary.
Do you know what I say? Paul Dale for mayor.
And with that, thank you for listening to the second day of the Chamberlain Files podcasts. I don't know whether we can be bothered to do it again tomorrow. 34 loyal readers joined us yesterday. We'll see by how much that number dwindles tomorrow, and we either will or will not see you again tomorrow. Thank you.